Open our Bibles. Once again in the Gospel according to Matthew. Chapter 9. Verses 18 up to 38. The Bible says, while he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put aside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all that land. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows this. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all their country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man, mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitude marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. But the Pharisees say, he cast out demons by the ruler of demons. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the apostles. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest soon is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Okay, let's pray. Our Lord and Father who art in heaven, we worship your holy name and we thank you for having brought us here to worship and hear from you. This is another good time for us, Lord, to be fed from your holy word. We pray that, Lord, you come and use me to teach us your word. We lift our cups, the cups of our hearts before you. Fill them, O Lord, with your word to the glory of Jesus Christ. And this we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Yeah, we continue in our series from Matthew. I gave the name of this message, the power of faith. Faith has power, as we are going to see. Number one, we are going to look at the signs of great faith. What are they? Then we are going to look at the reaction of Jesus towards those signs of faith. Yeah, let's begin with the signs of great faith.
Number one is the request of the ruler. And verse 18 tells us this. And when Jesus, while he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hands on her, and she will live." While he spoke these things, which things? This sends us to our previous sermon. The things are found in verse 16 and 17. 15, 16 and 17. And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." These are the words that he had spoken to them. Now, after speaking those words to them, then behold, the ruler came and worshipped him. Let's understand something about this ruler. Rulers of the synagogue were the chief officials of synagogues. These were prominent members of their community, very respectable people. One would fall at the feet of someone of such greater status like kings. I mean, let me put it this way. In Israel, people are not allowed to fall, to kneel before anyone. Except people like kings and God. Period. But now we see this ruler of the synagogue. It's like today we can say that the present bishop, so-called bishops, he came and fell on his knees before Jesus. People of Israel could not believe that. Jesus was not a king in Israel. And they never knew him as God. Those are only two people or group of people that Israelites could kneel for. But this ruler who was a teacher of the law, who knew well about what I've just told you, came and knelt down before Jesus Christ, spreading the news to others that this is not a normal human being, a mere normal human being, sorry. He was a normal human being, but not a mere, not a simple human being. He knelt before him. For this prominent man to humble himself in this way before Jesus was to recognize Jesus' power in a serious way. He knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, But come and lay your hand on her and she will live. This is the first sign of a great faith. The request of the ruler of the synagogue. No one had told him that Jesus is God. But faith is faith. Led him to him, to Jesus. Check his words. I know very well that if you lay your hand upon my daughter, she will live. That was great faith. And check down here. 19. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. That is the first sign of great faith. We find the second sign of great faith in verse 21. The thoughts of the sick woman. Verse 21 reads, for she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. The first one, the ruler, said it with his words. The second person never said with his, with her mouth, but she said with her thoughts. Don't play around with your thinking. Whatever you speak with your thinking is just equal with what you say with your voice. We saw signs of great faith in both. Yet one said using his words, another one said using his thoughts. I might not abuse Marvin verbally, but I always abuse him with my thinking. Look at this. Inside there, it is just equal to how I could bring it from my mouth with my voice. Just like the ruler, this woman also believed 100% that if only I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. Wonderful. Do we have such faith? We found the third sign of faith in verse 27 and 28. The cry of these two blind men. Verse 27 reads, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Number one. The two blind men heard about Jesus. Remember, they could not see. They just heard that this Jesus was passing by. Faith pushed them to cry to him, Jesus, Son of David. They are affirming Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The genealogy of Jesus that calls him Son of David. Have mercy on us. Jesus never minded that. We don't see that he
stopped.
He continued. And entered the house where he was going. These guys never stopped there. Saying, no, he has not minded about us. To see one, let's remain here. No. They followed him. Verse 27 tells us. No, 28. And when he had come into the house, the blind man came to him. That is faith. Someone who does not mind about you. You cried and cried, have mercy on me, help me. But he continues and enters the house where he's going. And they told each other, let us continue following, let's go. Up to where we find him. That is faith. They entered the house where he was. And Jesus, before he did anything to them, ask them this question, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord. And then he went ahead healing them. Jesus, God will not do anything outside your faith. Even salvation itself. He can't just do anything without your faith. You can ask me. The Bible teaches us that any sinner in his state of sins is dead. Now, how can a dead person have faith and come to Christ? Whoever taught you about that many times here. The Spirit of Christ comes first. Enters you, the dead body, the dead person. And he creates faith into. He gives you life first. So that you can be alive. Then faith. And then you follow Christ. That's how things happen. He enters you, a dead person, first. Truly, a dead person does not reason. Cannot have faith. So you need to be alive first. So that you can exercise your faith. I remember when we were going to the crusade to con girls. He first entered me. And I became alive. That's when the word preached on the crusade started making sense to me. And I started saying within myself, what I'm doing is not right. Do you believe that I can do this thing? If only they said, no, Lord, you could not do anything. But they say, yes, and they never stopped at yes. They add there the word Lord. Who has told them that this is the Lord of all Lords? Who? Faith. The Spirit of God leading them, opening the eyes of their minds. This is your Lord. By calling him Lord, they are accepting the doctrine of the divinity of Jesus Christ. Then in verse 32, we find other people with faith. The bringing of the mute and demon possessed man. 32 reads, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon possessed. You cannot bring your sick person to someone that you don't have faith in. Oh, these are signs of great faith. Let's go to point number two and look at the reaction of Jesus Christ towards these signs of faith. Number one, he never ignored anyone. He never refused any call. He is ever ready. Verse 19. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. The ruler came and begged him to go with him to his home. Check the words of the ruler. My daughter just died. But come and lay your hands on her. Let's check Mark. Chapter 5. Chapter 5:21 to 22 and 23. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, 23, and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live.
Omu owoku bakuruwe kunganiro, elinyariye, yairo na ija, boyamulaba, na kunama kubigerebye, na mwega ila nyo, ya gamba, chumwala wange, umdo alikundi yukupa, no kwegai. Mkwega ila oje, umseke mikono, mikono jo, ade mumberaye, ala mpeo.
Check these two evangelists.
Tumuli yawa na mwulizi wengi ya wabili.
Matthew never revealed the name of this ruler.
Matayo te yawe la linya liyamu, yawe mkulembe zonu.
Mark reveals it.
Marko ali.
He was called Jairus.
Yali aitiwa yaliyo.
Two.
Echoko bili.
Matthew says. That the daughter was dead. Come and heal her. Looks, Mark and Luke say she was at the point of death. And the people of the world say, check what you call holy, your holy book. Full of contradictions. There's no contradiction here. It has even ever happened on our daily lives. A certain, when I was still praying in those churches many years ago, a child fell sick in the night. And within a few minutes, she was really very bad. The parents panicked. And they started preparing themselves to take the daughter to the hospital. When they were, okay, no, bring the blanket, bring, stop the taxi. Then the father taught one of his sons, please call the pastor and tell him that our daughter is very bad, is about to die. Okay, mommy, let's go. They enter the taxi, poof, to Rubata. It was in Zambia. the girl went really in coma, not doing well. This son calls the pastor. Pastor, daddy says that please, if you could go to some hospital, they are there. The daughter is about to die. She's really in a very bad condition. Okay, let me go there. They reach in some hospital. Before the nurse and the doctor could do anything, the daughter passed away. Now it's time for father, as a man, to inform the pastor who had not arrived. And he called, Pastor, if you can really reach here, we are at San Hospital, our daughter is dead. Question. Between father and his son, who lied? Who lied? None. When this son called the pastor, their daughter was at the point of death. By the time the father called the pastor, the daughter was already dead. So each evangelist narrated that story at his own different angle. Matthew narrated it at the other angle from the hospital when the daughter was already dead. While Mark and Luke then narrated it at this point of home when the daughter was still doing
mass.
Whenever you come across the so-called contradiction of the Bible, come and we reason together. There is no contradiction in our Bibles. So that one, I think I've clarified it. It was very important for you to know that. Yeah, back to Matthew. Where the ruler says, my daughter has just died. But still he's asking Jesus to go with him. If I was the one or you, if you are the one who would have said, no, okay, it's okay. She was in coma, but I hear they've just informed that she's dead, you can remain here. But this one says, no. They've just informed me that she's already dead at home, but let's go. I know that you can lay your hand upon her and she will live. What faith is that? We have two types of dead people. Some are physical, others are spiritual. You might be in this church this morning, alive physically, but spiritually you are dead, a corpse like other corpses. But do you believe that Jesus can give you life? Do you believe it 100% like this ruler? That Jesus can give life to your dead parents? To your dead friends, colleagues, neighbors? Don't say this is too much. Nothing is impossible with God. And in verse 19 we see Jesus standing and follow the ruler. Go forward and we follow you. The man who's ever ready who does not ignore anyone. Why? Simply because he never came to be served, he came to serve. Try to get the picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then get the picture of the present prophets, prophetesses, pastors, bishops, and apostles in our country. Do you see any resemblance? Not at all. If you went to a mighty man of God today and said, my daughter has just died at home, can we go together and you heal him or her? They'll tell you, I don't leave this place. Go and carry your dead body up to here. The way they speak slowly. I am the mighty man of God. Who are you to order me follow you? And still Ugandans want to believe that it's the Spirit of God working in them. They are all false prophets. Name them. I don't know any who is true prophet in our country. Simply because of the fruits that we see from their lives. He went. That's humility. Now, before even they could reach the house of Jairus, verse 20 tells us something. Suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. A woman who was bleeding for 12 years. We read, good enough for our brother really had to read that passage that he had missed. We read in Leviticus 15:19 that if a woman is in a monthly condition, should be far from other people because she's unclean. And when our brother was reading for us Leviticus 15, I said, no, things are not easy at all. That whoever could touch even her clothes, you also become unclean the whole day. If you touch the bed where she sleeps, she's not there, maybe she has gone to fetch water, but accidentally you touch the bed, her bed, you become unclean the whole day. You are also going to leave the community, you go somewhere the whole day. She was not supposed to touch anyone. Anyone was not supposed to touch her. Whoever she touches becomes unclean. Whoever touches her becomes unclean. She hears that Jesus of Nazareth is moving. She was somewhere where she was not supposed to be in contact with people. Reason why she had to sneak herself into the crowd. And reason why the first guy who showed faith, the ruler, said it loudly with his mouth. Come and heal my daughter. When anyone was hearing, this lady could not do that. Because she never wanted anyone to know that she was even within the crowd. I don't know how many people she had made unclean. I don't know. When people are many, you are just knocking each other. Whoever she knows, unclean. Unclean. And she wanted also to scream.
yali ayagala okuwoggana.
Lord, I know. If Lord, I come and help me. If you touch me, I'll be made well. She could also say like the ruler. But she was fearing people. She had to say the same words within our hearts. Within our hearts. If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. You are joking with thoughts. They shout as loud, even louder than your words. You fornicate from them.
You say,
I've never slept with any boy, with any man, but you've ever slept with a hundred in your thoughts. She comes. She touches the hem. What is this hem? Israelites, okay, Jewish men had a certain type of clothes. Ngabikanzu. Okay? They were long. And then they had the law of God had commanded that they on that robe, they put there a hem or something. Okay, let's go into Numbers. Let's go into Numbers 15 also. Numbers 15:38. 38 up to 41 says. 15:38. Speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. And you shall have the tassel, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you may not follow the hollow tree to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember that and do all my commandments and be holy for your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. So don't read by God of time. But you see already that they had the long sort of robes they were putting on. That God is commanding them again to okutungirako akakataso, to sew there another piece of cloth that were they were calling tasso. I think they used to write the Ten Commandments on it. Because God says, whenever you look at your tassel, you remember of my commandments. Now, it is that tassel that lady touched on the garment of Jesus. Immediately, when you go through Leviticus 15:19, you have the answer. You know what Jesus would have become already. Unclean. If you touch even her clothes, a lady is in a lady's monthly condition. She's not around, but accidentally you touch on one of her clothes. You remove the clothes you are putting on, you go and get all your other clothes, wash them in water. Then go yourself and bathe. After that, go out of the community the whole day. You are unclean. Jesus Christ has been just been touched by this unclean lady. Do you remember in Numbers the story of this prophet who was sent to go and curse Israel. And what does the Bible say? What does it say? You cannot curse the blessed, the anointed of the Lord. These people are blessed of the Lord. You cannot curse them. This is Jesus Christ, God man, who came to be unclean so that we could be clean. He's the one who had come to cleanse us. There's no way he could be unclean. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well." One. She never touched the robe of Jesus. She touched the tassel of the robe. In the crowd, everyone is touching you here and there. How do you know that someone has touched the tassel of my robe? The omniscient Jesus.
Yes.
He knows everything, past, present, and future. This is the Jesus who wants to enter your heart. But you are still resisting. Open your life for him. He knows everything. He knew that someone has touched me. He turned around. Remember, he was on his way to Jairus' home. So he could not say, "No, I have a task I'm going to accomplish." So I cannot mind about this lady who has
done
that. He first stopped that and attended to this lady. Our great Redeemer who's ever ready. He will stop attending to me because of you. Who was touched to me? Then when he turned, the lady started shaking with fear, because she knew that one, Jesus is going to know that she's angry. And from there, other people in the crowd are going to know that she's unclean. It would be trouble. And she was expecting the words of rebuke from the Lord. Instead, softly and tenderly, Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." Which faith? She has said nothing, but she said everything with her heart. She said everything with her heart. "Your faith has made you well." Jesus Christ was a young man. He died when he was only 33 years old. 33 is just a young man, I don't know, in this room. I was 33 many years ago. At 33, you are still too young. How dare you call a woman daughter?
How?
I created you. I know you. I love you. I have compassion on you. Go home. You are well. Your faith has made you well. Did Jesus say, "You're single"?
Yes, you are number four.
Did he say, "My daughter, your seed has made you well"?
Yes, you are number four.
They are disturbing people in our beautiful country. Even when you watch the 77 dogs, first sow a seed, first give a seed, and then you'll receive your miracle. Which seed is this lady
sow?
Your faith has made you well. Free of charge, go. And after doing that, they continue there to their destination. Verse 22. But Jesus turned around. Three. Because after telling God those words, your faith made you well. The Bible says, and the woman was made well from that hour. Did he touch her? The Bible does not say so. He said the words. The servant of the centurion in chapter
8.
Yes, thank you, brother. Also, Jesus never left where he was. He wanted to go with the centurion. Centurion said, no, please. You are too big for that. I also have servants. I just order them and they execute. You can order it from here and I know my servant will be okay. And Jesus again said, you have a great faith. Go home, your servant is well already. But with the ruler, in chapter 9, verse 18, he wanted to go. They are on the way, he's going to touch. Don't expect him to deal with you the way he dealt with David. And it's not upon you, it's upon his will, his choice. I want to deal like this with Balaam, like that with Marvin. Now he continued his way, on his way to Jairus' home. Verse 23. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing. Some people say, no, he never raised her from the dead. The girl was only very sick. Don't you see how Mark says? See how Luke says? Jesus does not have power to raise the dead. Question comes here in verse 23. Can people, because every people has got its own culture on how to do things. With the Jews, when someone is dead, they used to call people playing those flutes as a way of mourning. They were playing the flutes, and the ladies were beating on their chests like this, and they were wailing loudly, crying. You cannot see that when someone is very sick. If this daughter of Jairus was only simply very sick, why are they called these people who were playing flutes? Even when your friend or relative is in a coma, not dead, not alive, you are only there very fearful. But the people don't cry. We find them in hospitals. God alone, Pastor. He said he cannot talk, he does not understand. God alone, Pastor. But when he goes, Musa, don't This is what these guys were doing here. Verse 23 proves that he was really dead. He said to them, make room for the girl, make room, for the girl is not dead but sleeping. Again, people say, don't you see me? Jesus also said, no, she was not yet dead. Jesus here never meant that she was not dead. He simply called what we call death sleep. Yes, even when you go to the letters of people who grew in their faith, like Paul. Many times Paul calls it sleep. When I'm going to sleep, talking about his death. So the girl was seriously dead. Then he said, no, make room, which means get out, go out, I want to remain alone with the girl. And they ridiculed him. Look at this. This has just died and you are saying that he's sleeping. And they never knew who he was. Just like you might not be knowing who Jesus is. They went out. He went in and took her by the hand. And the girl arose. What a mighty king we serve. He rose the dead. Is able to raise you also spiritually. Verse 26. And the report of this went out into all the land. Now, from there, after just finishing that, he left. And two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Crying out without fear or shame. You might be here and you say, I still feel ashamed to just go and say I'm born again. Then you are still a corpse spiritually. Have mercy on us. That's the only way of salvation. Not you giving a lot of offering in your church. I give tithe regularly, so I'm going to heaven. Cry to the Lord to have mercy on you. It is only mercy and mercy and mercy. Nothing more, nothing less. If I am saved, if you might be saved here, you don't deserve it. It's my mercy. What did you do? Because even today you still sin. But he loves you. He saved you. It's mercy. He had mercy on us. We should pray that he has the same mercy upon our parents and friends and children. It's not repeating a prayer. It has nothing to do with repeating a prayer. Repeat after me, Lord Jesus, today, I come to you. Amen. You are now born again. There's no prayer that makes people born again. It's not prayer. It's just the mercy of Christ You don't need to repeat after someone. Just go into your bedroom. Kneel down before your bed. Cry these very words before he who sees in secret. Not with your mouth, but with your heart. Have mercy on me and change my life. And when he had come into the house, they followed him into the house. Great faith. The blind man. Okay, and Jesus said to them, he asked them a question, do you believe that I can do this? I'm able to do this thing? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus suddenly warned them, saying, see that no one knows about this. Did they listen to that? They just jumped with joy. Hey man, this man called Jesus, said, we are seeing. This man called Jesus. They spread the news. Verse 32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man, mute and demon possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitude marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel.
Nago ba daimon kasiru na yogira ebina nebye uunya nebigama nseda nida wala wikanga wait to be stayed.
That's still showing that, remember verses chapters 8 and 9, they are full of the miracles and signs of Jesus Christ. To prove who he was among the Jews, they bring him this mute guy. Jesus chases the demons and he starts talking. People are surprised. But check what the Pharisees say. In verse 34. But the Pharisees said, he cast out demons by the ruler of the demons. When others are praising God for what Jesus has done, another group is just putting everything down. He's using a chief of demons. Even as you are preaching the true biblical gospel in Uganda, other people outside there are saying, which church is that? Where they don't dance. Where they don't speak in tongues. Which church is that? 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people.
Yes,
did you hear that? Jesus Christ went about all the cities and villages. Teaching. I want to put like 2 points here. He went not only in the cities, but also in all villages. Today we don't want to go and preach in villages. You only become a mighty evangelist when you start boarding planes. Like I see one called Noel. If you can see among my Facebook friends, a guy called Evangelist Noel is a Burundian. We were together at the Bible College. Yeah, he's called Evangelist Noel. Now he has started boarding planes, going to Kenya. Now he's in Lusaka. He's in Lusaka. So now, he has become a mighty evangelist of God. He's no longer at the level of villages. He has gone to the level of planes, going to Nairobi City, Johannesburg, and Lusaka. That God they are preaching is not the same with ours. Our God and Creator is here.
He
went through all the cities and all villages preaching. After going into those cities and villages, what was he preaching? The Bible tells us that he was teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Not the gospel of sowing seeds. Not the gospel of how God has blessed your life. Not the gospel of how many countries you visited in the world. Not the gospel of how you've been sick and now you are healthy. The gospel of the kingdom. And what is that? Repent. Repent. Flee from your sins. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." It was when he was moving up and down into cities and villages, when he saw the multitudes, and he was moved with compassion. Why was he moved with compassion? Did they lack food? No. Some even were richer than we are. They had everything. But he looked at the multitudes. He felt pity because they were weary, tired, and scattered like sheep without shepherd. And he looked at them and said, "Oh, these people are perishing. They are so-called shepherds are teaching them against, to go against the true shepherd, who is Jesus himself." It's the same scenario now. Look at the state of the church in Uganda and in the world. The multitudes are scattered, are tired. They are tired of being conned, of being squeezed any coin of money. They are tired, but they are there. What can they do? They don't know where to go. This is what my brother Andrew told me yesterday. Because I asked him, where do you pray for? I pray for my Pentecostal church. Though I was being disturbed with many things that go on inside the church. After listening to people like John MacArthur, after listening to Conrad Mbewe preach, I was like, this is what I'd like to be my preaching. But I never knew anyone. Where could I go? Until when he had to ask Pastor Conrad, Pastor Conrad linked him or directed him to us. But many people are just there. Instead of criticizing them, that's not the spirit of Christ. Instead have compassion. Just look at these Pentecostals when they are jumping like the Karimojong, you know. They dance every sort of dance in their so-called praise and worship. You see, the one who's leading praise and worship is just guiding them. Now, Tuzinema Ganda. Tuzinema Gwere, Tuzinema Gunju, Tuzinema Makalimochong, you see them jumping. Instead of laughing, instead of criticizing them, look at them with compassion. They are on the Broadway as well. Brother, I'm sorry. I can't believe my Creator here. When I'm busy criticizing those brothers and friends there, he is feeling compassion over them. And he stayed on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. These people are jumping on the pulpit. Can you worship the living God like that? Really? But he felt compassion of the multitude. They were tired. The pastor is telling you to pray from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. in the morning. People are tired. All that is because of ignorance. Friends, let us have mercy. Let us have compassion of these people. Check the crowds when you tune on channel 44. Check the crowds who are being deceived. They don't have a shepherd. And then he turned after seeing the crowds and felt really his heart bleeding. And he turned to the disciples and said, the harvest truly is plentiful, it's ready. But the laborers are few. The laborers are not there to win souls to Christ. Preachers are not there. Pastors are not there. These we know in our country are not laborers of the King of Glory. These who gather people in various stadiums and places on the 31st of December, they are not. True laborers are not there. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. That's why when I see people like Andrew, maybe this one will turn into another laborer. And I told Pastor Conrad, said, you know, you might have forgotten, but you sent to us a young man called Alex in this very manner. But he has turned out up into a good and faithful believer with the fruits of salvation. These are the laborers we want. Let us pray that the Lord continue bringing them our way. And we train them for the harvest. And Pastor Conrad said, keep me updated and we see what the Lord wants to do with this one also. These are the laborers. And many are in those churches there. Let us reach out to them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you shared with us today. You've really humbled us, Lord, and showed us that we don't have faith. We don't have enough faith. You've taught us a lot of truth, Lord. I've been humbled by this message today. You've taught us about our thoughts, Lord. How they shout before you loudly. Help us, O Lord. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Help this small church in the garage to train more and more laborers for the harvest in the future. And bring more our way, Lord. And establish more churches. I know there are many other churches, biblical and true churches in our land, but we don't know them. Lord, reveal them to us so that we know each other and we work together for your harvest. We thank you, Lord, and this we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.